Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFORadio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Thanks for joining me tonight. I hope you had a great Easter with your friends or family. Thank you to everyone who wished me a speedy recovery from the man flu. I have recovered 100% and we are back on board this week. Tonight I have Gary joining me, and Gary has had some fantastic encounters with Yowies on the Queensland and New South Wales state borders. He's basically had every Bigfoot experience you can think of: broken trees, wood knocks, grunts, structures, whistling, and even infrasound. But before we get into that, let's talk about the iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews. Each week I read out a new 5-star review that's left for me on iTunes. So if you want your review left out, simply jump on iTunes, leave me a 5-star review, and let me know what you enjoy about the show, and I might just read it out on the next episode. This one's titled Proof of Things to Come, and it's by Lions GSXR from Australia. Very insightful show and a great outlet for people with interactions. And just one final thing before we jump into this week's encounter. If you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, I highly recommend that you do. If you want to chat to other listeners of the show, simply jump on Facebook and search for the Believe Paranormal and UFO listener community. We just ticked over 100 members, so it's slowly growing. So if you're interested in that, I'll also include some links in the episode show notes. But that's enough of me talking. Let's get into Gary's incredible Yowie encounters. Tonight, I want to welcome Gary to the show. And Gary's been having encounters with Yowies on the Queensland and New South Wales border. Gary, welcome to the show.
How you doing, mate? Good to hear from you.
Very good, mate. Thank you for coming on the show. Now, you sent me a message on Facebook there a little bit earlier this week, and you've been having some very interesting encounters with Yowies for a little while now, haven't you?
We have, mate. It's been probably about two and a half years since the initial introduction to to our own Bigfoot world here.
Yeah, right. Do you mind taking us back to those first encounters?
Yeah, mate, for sure. So, myself and mate Wade, we've been interested in the subject for a fair while. We have listened to a few different select podcasts quite commonly. I'll get into the YouTube kind of stuff. And we actually thought that we'd, you know, where's a good spot to go for our first time, you know, Yowie hunting, Yowie research, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. So we ended up going to Mount Lindsay, sort of the Queensland New South Wales border, right next to Wollongong, which is quite known for their Yowie encounters. You can YouTube that; they come up pretty quick. Another reason, you know, because we go there on the bikes all the time, it's quite a popular bike riding route. So out in the middle of the Mount Lindsay twisties, there's actually paint on the road that says Yowie Crossing. So we thought, well, why not? We go through a time. That seemed like a good spot. Let's go, yeah, see what happens for our first time out there. So it would have been, it was a Friday night. So I got out there about 10:30. Went to that spot, pulled up, you know, a bit of a chat, sit in darkness, which I'm saying that this one particular night that we chose, pitch black, couldn't see a damn thing. You know, if you're about a metre, 2 metres between you, could not see each other at all. It was out in the dark out there. And I'm saying that, you know, it's a very creepy place at night. During the daytime, beautiful place to go through, but nighttime, creepy as hell. So, you know, we sort of hung around there for a bit, hour and a half, trying a couple of tree knocks, as you do, a couple of loud howls and calls. Every now and again, we give it a bit of a return tree knock, which is sent from the northwest kind of area. But, you know, out there, because there's so many trees, you know, it's their first time. Is it really a tree knock? Don't know. Okay, let's just keep going with it. And after a while, we could actually hear something moving on the ridge above us. It was hard to distinguish what it actually was. Quite easily heard, but we couldn't quite get a grasp of what it actually was, like weight, sizing like that. So, yeah, after about an hour and a half or so, in my way, goes, I'm pretty sure I can hear something further down the road toward Woodenbong. So, oh, okay, no worries. So, grabbed my phone off the bonnet of the car. Rookie mistake. I pressed pause on the recording. I've now learned to just let it go. So, next one. And jumped in the car. We went about K and a half, a bit further down the road there. As soon as we pulled up, pull off to the left-hand side of the road, as soon as we pull up, get out of the car, close the car doors, bang, just instant vocals from three different locations. So one would have been from the north, the next was from probably the northwest, and then right behind us in Lantar, probably the southeast. So from the north, northwest, was going, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. And then from the north, the same noise, back to the northwest, and they swung back and forth a bit. And then straight away behind us, just a big, big really loud scream. Scared the absolute crap out of us. So, of course, you know, we're standing there pitch black. Can't see anything apart from what your torch can show you because, again, for whatever reason, we had to go pick the creepiest night. So, anyway, we stood there, basically in the middle of the road. We could hear this noise behind us. Like, it's definitely bipedal stepping. You actually hear it behind the lantana, but it was just that thick that we couldn't actually see through it. You know, regardless where you are pointing your torch, it was just really hard to see through. But we could definitely hear something bipedal stepping and crunching and breaking sticks back there. I'm saying that there was a bird out there, I'm guessing, nesting somewhere in the back there. You know, like a lot of birds do, they alert to a predator, to danger. And the whole time this bird just kept going and going and going, giving its call. While that was happening, that one pretty much seemed to stop moving for a bit, which kind of creeped us out because then we didn't know what it was. You know, how close is it? Where is it? So it sort of freaked us out a bit. But at the same time, these vocals from the north and the northwest, you know, every 10, 15 minutes, they both go off again. But every 10, 15 minutes, they're getting closer and closer and closer. So over a period of about, probably would have been about 2 hours, I'd say, the vocals were getting closer and closer. Same thing, north, northwest. Still two different vocals. They didn't seem to be together at this stage. So basically, you know, what can you do? You sort of stand there, listen to it, and hope nothing happens.
So were you remaining completely still the entire time, or were you trying to, or were you moving further into the bush?
No, mate, we were actually standing in the middle of the road, because out there it's deep, dense forest on both sides of the road. So even though we're standing on the road, you can basically say we're in the forest. And because we weren't sure where this one was behind us, and these two in front of us, we were gradually getting closer and closer. We thought, you know, let's just relax, try not to freak out, let's just stay exactly where we are. saying, yeah, basically, like I said, every 10, 15, they let their vocals off again and closer and closer and closer. And, you know, after a fair bit of time of just listening to this happen to happen, every now and again, you hear some crunching and snapping from behind us, which, you know, because it was like maybe 10 metres behind us. So, yeah, I was freaked us out a bit, to be honest. I was standing in the middle of the road. My mate Wade standing on the edge of the road. And, you know, we're sort of whispering to each other, just having a bit of a chat. You know, do you hear that? Do you hear that? What's that? It's all right, calm down. We're both standing there. We both have our torches on, but, you know, you point the beam into your body so it doesn't emit too much light. You know, it keeps it nice and dark, which, you know, these things can see in the dark, so, you know, it made sense to us, but they're probably sitting there laughing at us. But, so after a little while, just listening to vocals get close, and they did sound very close by this stage. Like, I'm thinking, you know, it's hard to say, you know, with a vocal in a forest, but I'd say 50 to 100 metres away. Not long after that, I was standing on the road. It sounded all of a sudden like 1,000 mosquitoes just swarm your head, just completely surround you. You know, which way you look, turn up, down, left, right, it's just this buzzing all around you. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm hearing things. What the hell's going on there? So, you know, I just sort of stood there for a few seconds trying to see if it'd go away, like if it's in my ears or whatnot. Didn't go away. So I gently, slowly walked towards Wade, trying to be quiet at the same time. As I got to Wade, I sort of let the beam of light off my body to, you know, give us a little bit of air, me light, so we can see each other. And I look at him, and his face just shows this look of confusion and disorientation, which just said to me straight away that he can hear the same noise as well. So, you know, that's just weird. You know, we hadn't said anything to each other. We still haven't said anything to each other. We're just looking at each other with just confused faces, basically. And then without saying a word to each other, it was like telepathy or something, we both spun around 180 degree, and then with the torches, we both hit the same patch of vine on the opposite side of the road. Couldn't see through the vine, it was that thick. But we both just hit the same spot. Stood there for a few seconds, felt very nervous, confused. I wouldn't say fear, just very disorientated.
That sounds very much like infrasound.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the conclusion we came to. You know, saying that tigers and elephants have. And yeah, at the time we didn't know what's going on. We just, you know, waved like that's it. But it is, let's go. So we jumped in the car. Next morning, jumped on Facebook. The guys, you know, Brian Sullivan from Montana Bigfoot, sent him a Facebook message. No, you know, this is what happened. He'd come back and said it sounds like a couple of juveniles practicing infrasound from the description I gave him. So when he said that, it was a bit like, oh, you know, sounds a bit scary. You know, some of the stories I've heard from infrasound, you know, it's probably a 60-40 bad good thing. Like tigers, et cetera, they do it to disorientate their prey. I don't think we were prey. But, you know, never know, mate.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I mean, it sounds like it was a pretty terrifying, I guess, experience to be caught in there. Did you have any of them?
It certainly was not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could imagine, especially when the infrasound was starting to happen, did you find that you were starting to get really, I guess, worried or threatened by when you started to get those kind of those sounds happening to you?
I felt very confused. Wade seemed to become very visibly worried and nervous, which hence why, you know, I think we can jump in the car, let's get out of here. And you know, sort of through research, we sort of, you know, we actually found out that area is very heavily littered with not only Yowie sightings but Yowie stories and And then, you know, from there, it pretty much progressed into consistent happening every, you know, almost every time that we go out there, regardless day or night, we'd have something going on. I mean, like, we sort of give it a couple of weeks, go back out. You know, another situation, went to the same spot. You know, we didn't always go to that one spot, but this one particular night, went back to that one spot. Wade was back up in the corner there, and I was about probably 60 metres down the road, so they are just checking things out, but trying to be stealthy as we can. And I thought, I might go for a bit of a stroll up to Wade and see if he's heard or seen anything. And as I got to about probably 15 metres from him, the embankment on the side of the road was probably about 3-4 metres. Something massive, like definitely not a rabbit, not a roo. This, whatever it was massive. Like, pretty much I got along with it. This thing took off, cranking through the bush, to basically, you know, to get away. And the only thing I can put it down to is that, you know, when Wade's up there by himself, you know, it's a one-on-one situation. I've come into the scene, now it's a two-on-one situation. So whatever it was extremely big, the way it was, you know, breaking branches and just cranking through the bush there. You know, obviously, two-on-one, get out of the situation pretty much. And, yeah, like I said, day or night, we can go out there, generally get some kind of interaction. Again, like, because we go out there on the bikes a fair bit, we actually think that they've become used to seeing us out there.
And that's what I was just about to ask you there, Gary. Do you think these creatures are starting to get accustomed to you? Because you said to me before we...
For sure, mate, 100%.
Yeah, and you said before we started recording that whenever you take new people out there with you on these expeditions, that you find the activity isn't as, I guess, active.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. Exactly right. You know, basically, yeah, when we go out there just for our group, like, you know, three or four of us, pretty much 99% of the time we'll have whistles, we'll have grunts.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We have stone throws. We've actually had the infamous baby cries from one side of the road, 30 seconds later from the other side of the road. Well, it actually sounds like a baby crying in the bush. But from, you know, what I've been told and what I've heard, if you hear that, don't go chasing it. Just basically do nothing. Because apparently from what I've been told, it's a bit of a tactic to lure you into the bush. So, you know, we've heard that. Obviously didn't do anything, just went, oh, that's amazing. But yeah, basically anytime we go out there, whistles, tree breaks, bipedal crunching, stepping through the bush. Couple of times ago, checking out a trackway that I found a little while before that. A branch, probably about 10 foot long, come flying out of the treetops. You know, we've got no ill intent towards them, so, you know, we're not throwing stones back in there or anything like that. Not throwing branches back in, we just, you know, take as it comes, and, you know, that was pretty cool. Keep going with it. But yeah, like if we take anyone else out there with us, another person, another two, three people, yeah, nothing happens. It's like they're quite comfortable, I guess. I'm not sure if they call it interacting, but I guess you say quite comfortable playing with us when it's just us.
Yeah, it definitely seems like someone else out. Yeah, it seems like they definitely have a bit of a rapport with you, and I'm just wondering, did you ever feel like you were in danger at any time? Because it sounds like the first encounter that you had there was, I guess you could call it like borderline aggressive. And with them kind of calling out to each other, and then the one that it almost seemed like they were trying to sweep you, coming around you. and closing in on you from the other sides. I mean, did you ever feel in danger?
Not as in danger as that first night. I think that first night was just a bit of luck or bad luck, whichever way you want to look at it. We happened to pull up in between them. But, you know, as for that, like other nights we've gone out there, sometimes you get a bit of a bad feeling. Like something doesn't feel right. Maybe we should just call them early night and go. But, you know, you sort of stick it out, keep going. I even one night decided to play the Sierra sounds from Ron Moorhead, which is basically you've actually recorded their language talking across the canyon. So one night I thought, yeah, maybe I'll take that and I'll play that in the vehicle and put the windows down and crack that up. And I was playing for about 10-15 minutes, and my mate goes, oh, you know, it's probably not a good idea because, you know, obviously, you know, we don't know what they're saying. You know, could be saying something aggressive toward them, or, you know, sort of, yeah, turn that off. But that was a night that we all felt quite uneasy out there. But, yeah, I mean, it's very, very constant activity out there, day or night, pretty much. One day we going out there, we actually you know, went to relieve myself over on the side of the road there, and I happened to look across to the right, actually saw a trackway that came out of the forest. So I'll go check that out. And as I'm going towards it, I had a look on the ground, and I actually found about 20-25 tracks, about 3 or 4 different sizes, you know, as if there was a party there running around. The trackway coming down the embankment was quite evident, quite obviously used. And I thought, I'll just sort of have a look around, and then I noticed some broken logs, crushed logs, so I'll go have a look over that. And I actually stumbled across a trackway, actually used trackway. So I followed that, found some more prints down there, you know, a right foot, which then steps over a log that was half under the ground, to a left foot that lands. You actually see the impression on the ground. Kept following, like I said, was a trackway going through the forest. And then happened to find quite a large track that was probably about 16 to 18 inches in length, like almost size 11. And you can quite easily see that this track is about minimum 4 inches bigger than my foot, like in length.
Yeah, width, wow.
Quite easily wider. And so, you know, I got my phone out, started taking photos, video, that kind of thing. And I actually fired the trackway, which went up another couple of metres, and there were a couple of old dead trees that had come down. And you can actually see on top of the trees where they're actually using the trees as stepping stones. Where there was all, you know, the trees were worn down from being stepped on. So while I was, you know, talking the video and showing the video, that kind of thing, showing the print, sorry, I actually heard something off to my right. As I pan around the camera, you know, I got nothing there, come back, kept going on with the video and taking photos as well. So we decided, well, we obviously found the trackway, we found a lot of prints, let's come back at night and see what we can find in the same area. So we came back at night again about 10, 11 o'clock. And track where I was going, all covered up. And, you know, that's a bit weird. I'm around just here. And, you know, it basically looked like a couple of scrub turkeys come through and scrubbed all leaves and dirt across it. It wasn't an evident track anymore. That big track that I found was gone, couldn't see it. But the interesting thing was there was branches that had been clearly snapped off a tree and stuck into the ground to make it look like it was a natural growing tree, which
oh,
was
really?
Yeah. So it was like an attempt to cover their tracks. But, you know, obviously knew that, they were, you know, these imitation trees weren't there before, because, you know, that's, you know, it's on video, like they weren't there, and now all of a sudden they're there and poked in the ground. Grabbed a couple, pulled them up, you know, they've stuck in the ground probably 3-4 inches, and they're quite clearly snapped off and stuck in the ground. And again, you know, make it look like natural growing trees.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've actually never heard of, I guess, Yowies or Bigfoot doing anything like that. It's kind of like it's they're almost kind of aware that you're in that area and you're kind of looking for them. And they're covering themselves
for up. Sure. Well, I think yeah, from whatever it was that I heard to the right hand side, that was obviously one of them that noticed that I found the trackway and better cover it up and do something about it.
Have you ever spotted one of the?
No, it's hard. It's very hard. Like they, regardless of their efforts, they always stay just out of sight, just out of the range of the torch. Day or night, you can hear them, the grunting, the footsteps, the stone throws, but you can never quite get a grasp on whether actually sighting them. So we're still on the mission to do that.
And have you had any other, I guess, confirmation that they're in the area? Like, have you seen hair samples? Have you smelt them in the area? Because it's not uncommon to have a bit of an odor around when these creatures are around. Because some people think that they have these glands that kind of put off a bit of a stench, kind of like how a skunk would do.
For sure, yeah. I mean, well, we actually hadn't had that smell, but it was actually down Tyalgum. So Western Wollumba. Went down there one night to check out a possible lead. Followed a fire trail into the bush about 2.5 kilometres. Towards the end of it, yeah, we actually did hear something moving off to our left. We were talking 11, 12 o'clock at night. Didn't actually see anything, but afterwards, like this dead animal smell started wafting across. We stayed there for a little bit, about half an hour or so, and the smell disappeared. We heard nothing. So we turned around, started heading back to the car.
Do you think that's a self-defense mechanism?
Mate, it's hard to say. I mean, there's different opinions out there. If it's self-defense or if it's them freaking out, it's obviously hard to say. It's one of those unknown questions that we don't have an answer for right now. Yeah, it's obviously a topic that as much as we like to think we know, we're still trying to work it out.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, and that kind of brings me to a bit of a loaded question for you there, Gary. Is what do you think a Yowie is?
Mate, as far as I am concerned, I think it's a flesh and blood creature. I don't think it's anything paranormal. Could be wrong, but. I mean, they're the masters of their environment, the masters of camouflage. They're not invisible. They've obviously been sighted quite a number of times. Honestly, I'm saying that the more things you hear and listen to, it sort of starts to cloud your decision, your judgment a little bit. Very hard to get a honest opinion, to be honest, work it out, what's going on.
And that's it. I mean, there's so many different encounters, and I guess if you kind of subscribe to the idea, there's different species out there because they are kind of spotted all over the world. And I mean, at the moment, there's no right or wrong answer to what a Yowie or a Bigfoot is, because at the end of the day, we don't really know at the moment.
No, mate. I think most we know is what we've witnessed or heard or seen or found or. I mean, you can only really go off witness reports. Australia apparently has two different types, the bigger and the smaller. I've heard that the ones in Mount Lindsay are the smaller type, the Junjidi. I think it's pronounced. I was actually told that they actually live at the base of Mount Lindsay. We thought about going to have a look, but I sort of didn't really feel comfortable knocking on their front door if that is the case. So I'm still sitting on the fence about actually doing that one. So it's a bit of a tricky situation at the moment. I mean, the things we found, that's all we can really go off at the moment. We found big X markers where the centre of the X is about 12 to 14 foot off the ground, which they're commonly thought to be like a stop sign. Don't go past here, don't go any further. Where we stand in position.
Oh, so you've actually found structures in the bush.
Yeah, for sure. I live at Beachmont. We actually found in the bottom of Beachmont toward the Narang side. Found a big X marker in there, along with a couple of footprints. Not near the X marker, but further back up in the bush. back at that down at Tioga when we had that dead animal smell come across us. There's a 4 to 5 inch thick drum tree that had been woven horizontally in between about 7 or 8 other trees. So if you can think of it, if you weave wool through or rope or whatever, that's pretty much what had been done to this tree. Or there's no way that this thing could have happened naturally. It was completely, you could see the roots on one end, the dead branches on the other end, and actually been woven left and right through 7 or 8 trees, horizontally about 6 foot off the ground. And then there was a second one about 3 foot off the ground, which wasn't quite as woven, more so just sitting there. That was only, about a kilometre back from where we had that smell on something in the bush at Tioga. Then multiple tree breaks at Lindsay and Springbrook as well. It's when you actually stop and look for it, they actually do stand out quite easily. Because for the most part, people go for a walk, but they're not actually looking; they're just walking as such.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Gary, mate, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your encounters, because you seem to be living in quite an active area of the country.
Well, mate, there's you've got your three mountains here: Tambourine, Beachmont, and Springbrook. And then obviously goes the ranges go in through Nummanbar. It's quite an active area. Tambourine's quite active, as you know. We had the sighting on the back of Beachmont in the last year. Springbrook is known to have a family group in there. Down in Nummanbar, you've got the locals know of Big Red, who they think is the one that crossed over at Witherin, the back of Beachmont. It is quite an active area. I just wish we could get them in the army land of the backyard there, because apparently the army know about them. So, I don't really want to go down there and go face to face with a sniper or something sitting down in there. Might be in some trouble then.
That raises another question. So, do you think the authorities know about these creatures?
Oh, for sure. Mate, it's not even a question. It's 100% proven, mate. It's nothing new, to be honest. You sort of bring these topics up with authorities, and those that are in the know seem to not want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, we've had a chat to a couple of people who have had run-ins with Yowies and stuff like that. And a common thing that is, I guess, linking all these stories together is that the park rangers seem to know a little bit more than what they're letting on.
Well, mate, there's a ranger box at Mount Lindsay on the Queensland New South Wales, actually on the border. I've been trying to catch up with him to have a bit of a chat with him, but every time we go there, he's either left, he's either just left or he's not there. And I reckon he definitely has some stories. I've spoken to a few people that have gone through there in the middle of the night and pulled up on the board just to stretch their legs and quickly jump back in the car, because I've heard a couple of big loud screams from down the valley below them. So it doesn't surprise me that the park rangers know what's going on in these places, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Gary, thank you for coming on the show, mate, sharing your stories. And if you do find any other evidence, feel free to shoot it through, mate, and we'll put it on the episode show notes, because it'll be good to kind of get this information out there to, I guess, the general public in a forum where it's a little bit more available.
Yeah, for sure. No worries. Easy done.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.